As we begin this morning, our scripture will be from the Gospel according to Luke in chapter 1, reading from verses 39 through 56. This is a continuation of the story that we've been reading from the past 2 weeks. And this is what it says in Luke chapter 1, verses 39 through 56, as we continue waiting for the love of God. At that time, Mary got ready and hurried to a town in the hill country of Judea, where she entered Zechariah's home and greeted Elizabeth. When Elizabeth heard Mary's greeting, the baby leaped in her womb, and Elizabeth was filled with the Holy Spirit. In a loud voice, she exclaimed, "Blessed are you among women, and blessed is the child you will bear. But why am I so favored that the mother of my Lord should come to me? As soon as the sound of your greeting reached my ears, the baby in my womb leaped for joy. Blessed is she who has believed that the Lord would fulfill his promises to her." And Mary said, "My soul glorifies the Lord, and my spirit rejoices in God my Savior, for he has been mindful of the humble state of his servant. From now on, all generations will call me blessed, for the Mighty One has done great things for me. Holy is his name. His mercy extends to those who fear him from generation to generation. He has performed mighty deeds with his arm. He has scattered those who are proud in their inmost thoughts. He has brought down rulers from their thrones, but has lifted up the humble. He has filled the hungry with good things, but has sent the rich away empty. He has helped his servant Israel, remembering to be merciful to Abraham and his descendants forever, just as he promised our ancestors." Mary stayed with Elizabeth for about 3 months and then returned home. And this is the word of God for the people of God. As we think about this particular scripture, celebrate while you wait. Celebrate while you wait. It is the nature and season for joy, and yet we wait on our Christ, but we can celebrate while we wait. Waiting is one of the hardest things in the world to do. It takes patience and a calm reserve to persevere. And yet, even with those qualities working full tilt, we tend to get fidgety and anxious and even a bit jumpy, literally on pins and needles, as the time of hope and expectation draw near. Every sound we hear raises our anticipation level as we imagine that particular sound is the signal that we've been waiting for. Those times of waiting between hope and the fulfillment of our hope can be extremely tense. And if we focus on them too much, they may overwhelm us. But Mary and Elizabeth have provided an answer for us that allows us to live waiting for God's love to arrive without the anxiety that waiting can sometimes bring. And it allows us to let the excitement of the wait fuel the present moment of waiting. In this scripture, two women are pregnant. Elizabeth is pregnant, carrying within her the dream of her lifetime. In her old age, she has become pregnant with the child that was always wanted. Her desire had become a lifelong source of disappointment for her, but this child, the source of God's love inside of her and the fulfillment of God's promise to Zechariah and Elizabeth's prayer, is going to take away her condemnation and her disgrace among her people. She's pregnant with a holy child, already filled with God's Spirit and blessed by God to prepare the way for the coming Christ child. Mary is pregnant, and she's carrying the child that is literally the love of God living inside of her. Her child, the fulfillment of every faithful prophet of the old and the hope of the entire world, will be called Emmanuel, the Son of God, which means our God with us. The two women, one older and living out the promise of the past, one younger and living out the hope of the future, and both of them filled with waiting and expectation. Elizabeth is entering her 6th month of nurturing this child in her womb and has lived secluded from her own community in the hills of Judea. Mary has just found out that she is going to deliver a child that will sit on the throne of David forever. And she rushes to the house of her relative Elizabeth to greet her. And as Mary is speaking to Elizabeth, Elizabeth's child leaps inside of her. She was immediately filled with the Holy Spirit and began celebrating Mary's presence in her house and the presence of the God inside of Mary's womb. She started blessing Mary with words of praise and celebration for being chosen to bear the Christ child. And it didn't take long for Mary to start her praise. Perhaps she was reminded of Hannah's words of celebration as she broke out into her own song of worship to God and what God was doing in her life, but she began praising the God of all creation. Her words of praise reached back to praise God as the God of history and what God had done in the past. And her celebration expanded into the future to praise God for what this event would mean for all of those who are destined to inherit the promises made to Abraham. But clearly her praise was a present praise. Neither child had been born, neither child had lived up to their promise nor their potential. But that didn't stop Elizabeth or Mary. Neither of these two ladies had lived to see their faith become sight. And yet these two ladies didn't hesitate to make the most of their present moment and lift God up in praise. It seems like such a small thing, given how these two ladies were being blessed, that they would use this present time in the midst of all the time of waiting, still remaining in their pregnancies, to give praise to God. And yet in that, there is a lesson in the story and something that hearing this story should teach us, something that can meet us where we are today. You see, brothers and sisters, most of us look at waiting as something to be avoided. We're so anxious to get beyond the past and so excited to get to whatever the future holds for us that we look at the present time as something that we have to endure. The past becomes something that we remember and memorialize. It's something to recall, but it seldom brings us to the present moment. And we all know that when we hear someone tell us a story of a grand old time that they had and their desire to get us to relive their excitement and their exhilaration, we know that the conversation will most likely end with those famous words. Well, you just had to be there. And that typically defines how we view the past. And when we speak about our future, we can seldom get people as excited about our future as we are. whether it's because we can't articulate our excitement enough, or whether it's because they just don't share our emotions about what experiences lie ahead for us, it's difficult for us to paint a picture that's vivid enough or hook people into the feeling like we feel about something that's so far away, even though it's in our future. And I don't doubt that God has a bright and radiant future planned for all of us. But most of us live with the reality that life's future isn't promised to us. And even if we believe in God's future for us, we get so caught up by the challenges of today that we can't bring ourselves to celebrate that future because we so vividly remind ourselves that everybody wants to go to heaven, but nobody wants to die. And so any excitement about the future, even God's future for us, remains nothing more than a distant hope. We can see it, maybe. We can talk about it and hope for it for sure. We can even imagine it and become excited about what we see in our imaginations. But the future that we experience in this life is and can also be filled with disappointment. There's a gentleman named Andre Francois Raffray. He was a retired lawyer that lived in France. And he made what any reasonable and prudent businessman would say was a sound financial decision. According to an article in the Chicago Tribune, for $500 a month annuity, he bought the rights to take over an apartment in Arles, France, on the death of his current resident. The woman living in the apartment was Jean Calmont. She was 90 years old. Actuary tables from insurance companies predict the mathematical probabilities of Jean Calmont's lifespan were clearly on the lawyer's side. 30 years later, and $180,000 poorer, Raffray had still not moved into the apartment. On Tuesday, February the 21st of 1995, Jean Calmont celebrated her 120th birthday. She was verifiably, at that time, the oldest person in the world. And each year on her birthday, she would send Raffray a card that jokingly said, "Sorry, I'm still alive." How little control we have over our future. You see, brothers and sisters, that kind of disappointment can get in the way of celebrating the future. We can't count on what might be down the road. Down the road might be there, but what if our hope is not? What if we're not? That's why this story of Mary and Elizabeth is so important. You see, brothers and sisters, when we look at the coming together of Mary and Elizabeth, certain things become apparent. Elizabeth had an uncertain past, but had a future pregnant with possibilities. And yet, with all of her history of unanswered dreams and the upcoming birth of her son, she was still in the midst of waiting for the love of God to become real in her life and choose the present moment to celebrate what God was doing in her life. Mary, on the other hand, had a certain and hope-filled future waiting to be birthed from her loins. Her future, though, was a future filled with questions about her and her husband and her baby. You see, brothers and sisters, for those of you who haven't figured it out yet, Mary is not yet married to Joseph. The wedding hasn't happened, and yet she's already pregnant. She's pregnant and stays with Elizabeth 3 months before going home to be married. With all of the upcoming questions about her family, her marriage, and the timing of it all, Mary, still in the midst of waiting for the love of God to become real in her life, chose the present moment to celebrate what God was doing in her life. And perhaps, brothers and sisters, that's the answer to all of the waiting we have to do in life. You see, brothers and sisters, we spend so much time dwelling on the past or looking forward to the future that we often forget that the most precious time we have is right now. And yes, we can dwell on the past and all of the misery that we've been through. We have a knack for throwing some of the best pity parties ever thrown. But dwelling on the misery of the past does little to change our present or our future, except to make it worse than it might be, to the point that we end up drowning in our own tears. And we can dwell on the future and all that we hope it will be. We can look at the future with eyes so wide open that we lose sight of what's already right here before our eyes. And dwelling on the future can have a profound impact on how we do what we do here and now, but not if we never acknowledge what God is doing while we wait for our future to unfold. That's why this story about Mary and Elizabeth is so important. You see, friends, when we look at these two women, we have to recognize that they didn't waste time with each other talking about the misery of Elizabeth's past or of their individual time with the angel Gabriel. They didn't talk about what might be coming in the future, about how Mary might explain her pregnancy to Joseph, or about all the questions people might ask when Joseph is unable to speak and answer people's questions about her pregnancy. They didn't waste time celebrating the future, talking about the way it was going to be once all of the promises of God had come to pass, how their dignity would be restored, or how their lives would be shining bright because God had done marvelous things. No, my brothers and sisters, when Mary and Elizabeth got together in the midst of their time of waiting, they used their time of waiting as a time to celebrate what God was doing in them right then and right there. They lifted up and celebrated the presence of the Lord with them that day, not months or years from now, when their faith might become sight. They, Mary and Elizabeth, both of them recalled the past as the fulfillment of the present, celebrating the God that was and the God that is and the God that was to come. They stopped in the midst of their waiting to get their celebration and praise on in the presence of that moment. And maybe that is what God is inviting all of us to do during this season of Advent and other times as well. Maybe God is inviting us to take the present time to celebrate now while we wait patiently for the love of God to come. See, God knows waiting can wear us down. And we get so out of sorts and anxious waiting to praise God for what God is going to do. And there is a quiet reality to our waiting. And that reality is that most of the time, God is already doing things in our life. And we too often don't take time to acknowledge them. But if we take this present moment to celebrate while we wait, to see what God is doing among us, it can make our waiting less anxious and more grateful. If we celebrate while we wait on Christ, we can acknowledge what God is doing in the midst of us. We can celebrate while we wait and talk about what God is doing for us right now, in the here and now. We can lift up and praise our God and give praise to our God, who has already done great things for us, whose mercy has already been extended without condition to those of us who have believed on his name. We can celebrate now while we wait because we woke up today, and we can walk today, and we can breathe today, and we can speak today, and we can live today, and we can praise God today for how he has already lifted us up, even though we've been down. We can begin to celebrate now those times when God has brought us through the storm in the ever-present faith that God will bring us through storms, yet unrealized. We can begin to celebrate now the fact that our God has taken our future into account, and that today God has looked beyond our faults and seen our needs. And we can now celebrate while we wait for the reality of our faith to become sight, that God has been faithful to the promise made to Abraham and has brought those promises down to us. You see, brothers and sisters, we don't have to wait to celebrate our God present among us. We can celebrate while we wait. And there's plenty to celebrate and praise God for today. So it's okay to wait for the love of God to come. Let's just celebrate while we wait. That is the word of God today for the people of God.